the Judiciary and Law.
It's the last thing. It's
committee to order. Show.
I don't know.
Can I have roll call, please?
Leah Blau?
Here.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Greg Retzloff?
Here.
Mike Skalitsky? Michael Skalitsky?
I just heard a horn, so it's probably maybe him.
Jeff Wambold?
Here.
Madeline LaCroix? Madeline LaCroix?
Call.
Sydney Robson?
Here.
Okay, next to citizen comments. If there are any citizens wishing to speak, please state your name and address. You have 5 minutes. Citizens comments? Any citizens comments? Citizens comments are closed. Any supervisor comments? No? Okay, supervisor comments are closed. The chairwoman comments, I have no comments at this time. Can I get a motion to approve minutes from February 1st, 2017?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Either way. Okay, motion made.
Either way.
Supervisor Frederick, Supervisor Van Wall, seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Okay. Aye. All right, so resolutions from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. Probationary cabaret license, raise, change of pace.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The probation and cabaret for Ray's Change of Pace, which is a long-time establishment out in New Munster. We've been out there and inspected the premises, which you have a copy of back on the 3rd of February. Everything is fine for Ray's Change of Pace, but they've been put on notice to have the building inspector come through within that probationary period. So we have that on record before we go to an annual. But based on their track record and their tenure in the county, we would have no objections to issuing the probationary cabaret at this time.
Is there any discussion?
Move to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay. Here by Supervisor Skalitsky, seconded by Supervisor Retzloff. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Resolution passes. Next is the cabaret license for Sandlots of Salem.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. I also have this is an annual for Sandlots of Salem. They've recently completed their six-month probationary cabaret. And as you can see with the attachment, we've only had one issue there, and it was a traffic accident-related type of situation. No other problems at the facility, and we would have no problem taking both cabaret for Sandlots.
Any discussion, questions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
By Supervisor Skalitsky. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Okay, next, donation from Kenosha County Tavern League to Kenosha County Sheriff's Department for the canine program.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this last Saturday, the Kenosha County Tavern League donated $10,000 from their fundraiser that they did for us to purchase a new canine. I think most of you are probably aware that we lost one last, I want to say November, had a growth on its spine, had to be put down. So this will help us toward replacing that dog. And what it actually does is we were able to, because the dog didn't live to maturity, and everybody doesn't know this part, but we're really good with TOPS, which is our canine people. And what they're willing to do is give us a discount on another canine. So this will pay for that. And what we're attempting to do next is to we have one canine on the road right now. This will get a second one entered, which is basically back where we were. Part of these funds will help toward a third one for all three shifts will be able to have a canine for it. So this is a huge, huge donation for us. So I do have the check for $10,000. I did that, but this is the resolution for it.
Move to approve.
Second.
Did you have a question?
I had a question. I was just curious. Are the dogs insured? If you look, they're not. Okay, I was just wondering if they were insured, if they prematurely passed away, if there was some kind of...
Nothing. No, okay. They're really not. But like I said, TOPS is really great to deal with, and they said they're going to work with us to get us a discount on a new dog coming.
Okay.
So is this a trained dog, or do they have to go through the
Well, the dog is partially trained, but the deputy will go down for I think it's 4 months of training at TOPS with a brand new canine. So they kind of start over with a new dog.
So does the Tavern League, have they made donations for dogs before, or is this something new?
This is the first for us. See, there's an Eastern, there's a a Kenosha Tavern League and a Western Kenosha County Tavern League. The Western Kenosha Tavern League has never donated to us before. Someone from the Tavern League told me to go out there and make a presentation to them. I did. It was really rather simple, and they called back in just a little while, and they said, yep, we'll give you the $10,000. I guess the city donated, the city Tavern League donated $10,000 to the city canine program, too.
I was wondering how you did that. You know, I thought they just thought it would be decided, you guys want money for it.
It seemed kind of an odd.
Tavern League?
No, I don't know. I'm not saying they shouldn't or it's wrong. I'm just saying.
I was thinking the same thing.
Where's the connection between dogs and Tavern League and the sheriff's department?
Yeah. Well, law enforcement deals with the taverns all the time. The city has a tavern unit, and they're inside the taverns all the time dealing or checking on licenses, and we get calls to different taverns all the time. When I was there, actually at the meeting for the Tavern League, I was surprised that probably seven of the eight or nine people that were there I knew. And you had the son-in-law of Jerry Rasmussen at the Brat Stop. You had the owner of Bella Vita's part of it, and I know him, played coach with Little League and stuff like that with him. And so there are just a lot of people in the Tavern League that were looking for a very worthwhile cause, and they felt we were it.
Okay, can I have a motion to approve?
I already have one.
Oh.
And a second.
All right. Supervisor Scalzi made the motion, seconded by Supervisor Frederick. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, next is the 2017 Wisconsin Department of Justice COPS Anti-Heroin Task Force Grant.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm here to present the 2017 resolution. It's a request to accept $15,000 in grant money for year two. Wisconsin Department of Justice, from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, intended to reimburse Sheriff's Department employees overtime working drug unit on investigations focusing on trafficking of opiates and heroin. This $15,000 for us is a part of a $75,000 total grant that Racine County Sheriff's Department is a fiscal grant agent, and this money is divided up between five drug task force teams throughout Southeast Wisconsin. And this is 2017 is year two of this anti-heroin grant award.
How's the, in your opinion, can you give us a little, just a summary of level of success with the task force? And I know it's an ongoing epidemic, don't get me wrong, but have we had some wins?
As of lately?
Yeah, and I'm not so much about this grant, it's more of your efforts.
Oh, our efforts, we've been running on full speed since the beginning of the year. As a matter of fact, I do have some statistics here that I just presented to another organization the other day. And just in 2017, from January, the beginning is, we've roughly taken about 147 grams of marijuana, 50 grams of heroin, a little lower on the cocaine and crack with 6.21 grams and 2.3 grams. It's roughly estimated about a street value of about $4,800, and we're still going strong. We just had a joint search warrant done today on Lincoln Foods over at 69th and 14th, where that store was basically selling like a pharmacy. People were walking in, and you want marijuana, go see this guy. You want heroin, go see this guy. And we just made a big splash over there and boarded up the building today.
So in general, those quantities strike me as user levels, not dealer levels.
We're working on that.
Yep.
We take those
where you get information,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So, we work with those street level users, and we build up to the bigger suppliers.
Was that Lincoln Foods, did you say?
Yeah, Lincoln Foods.
Supervisor.
In your efforts, I'm just curious, do you run into much in the way of human trafficking as it relates to drugs or anything? Do you ever, over the past years even? I'm just curious, it's just like more curiosity.
Not at this point. We've heard of it, you know, in other agencies, other you know, like Milwaukee, Chicago, we've heard of it, but we haven't seen anything in our area.
Okay, I was just wondering. It seems logical that you might run into that as well.
I think it's going to be coming. Yeah. I mean, with the statistics of human trafficking, it's probably going to supersede the drug world.
Okay. Thanks.
It does happen at the interstate. So we do have detectives that are on the human trafficking task force. We work with Racine, Lake County, and they do work hotels and truck stops along the interstate. So, and it does, it is prevalent here. 5-6 years ago, I wouldn't have believed it like this, but they've got me to believe now.
But that trafficking is also different from drugs. It's
well, I know, but some of them are users. I guess that's what I'm getting at. In as you're dealing with the drug aspect of it, some of the people involved are going to be users, and they're being held probably against their will in a way with drugs or being addicted to drugs. So I thought you might stumble onto that. And if so, I'm assuming you would work well. You would work with the detectives that are that are handling the human trafficking cases too. So that makes sense.
We're working real tight now with the general assignment detectives from the city. Reference all these heroin overdoses that we've had in the city here. Some of this heroin that we're seeing now is coming back testing positive for fentanyl. And I don't know if you guys know what fentanyl is.
Yep.
But fentanyl is a very deadly drug, and they're cutting that up and putting it into the cocaine that we're seeing. And the last 3 or 4 buys, our detectives have field tested positive for fentanyl.
And is that when they say it's bad heroin? So to speak, I mean, it's all bad, of course, but when they say bad, it's not, it's because it's being cut with this very tragic type drug.
I think they use that as a generic term as this is the heroin that's killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but curious your opinion. I was listening to something where the people were saying in the community that it's better for them to be arrested, be able to go through rehab or detox. Is that, do you see that as a...
We don't have real rehab centers here in Kenosha. The district attorney set up a program that he went in front of the budget with for you guys and kind of explained it. And if they get, if someone gets arrested, they will defer prosecution if you put yourself through this program. And
That's right.
I talked to Mike Gravely and I said, Mike, I have people, I don't want to say all the time, but on a somewhat regular basis, people come up and say, I've got a son, a daughter, a nephew, I know he's taking heroin, you know, what can I do? Mike said, send them our way. We will work on getting them the treatment for it. This is a very expensive treatment. Each shot is about $1,200. Yeah. You're supposed to take one a month.
It's after, but you have to be, from my understand, it's got to be timed after the detox part of it. There's a timing involved in this.
A few weeks of detox.
Yes. So my point is, we don't have the facility here. Where's the detox? It's in with you. Where are they getting? Or at the?
Well, there's Rogers. Is that in Racine or Milwaukee?
Yeah, Rogers.
We don't have one here. Like when we went out and did a presentation at Central High School about drugs, I think the Stairway to Hell heroin. There were a few that came in and dropped their pamphlets, but they were either in Illinois or they were up closer to Milwaukee. Okay. It's like we don't have a psych ward here in Kenosha either.
No, but we're improving with that.
We did meet with Lake County, their district attorney. They've started a program, and I don't know how long, they've been doing it for a couple of years. And their program is, they started a text a tip. So they set up a text line, and you can text my brother is selling drugs, or my brother's taking drugs, and then you can do this anonymously, and we'll go do the research. We also started brainstorming that meeting, and I thought, we're in the process of getting, what's the drug? Can't think of it.
What, a Narcan?
Narcan. We're in the process of getting Narcan, so that if we come across a situation where someone's down, we suspect drugs, we can give them in a nasal Narcan. We're also, I'm trying to think, the Narcan, I guess you can go, I didn't realize this, but you can go to different agencies, I think the county agency and Walgreens, they will give it to you if you think you have a problem. So we have the heroin dealers or the heroin users will go get their basically rescue drug, and they'll go take heroin until they pass out or die, and they'll give them to the other ones. They'll do that at these heroin parties. So it's a real huge concern. And but we're working on a text line. We're also working on and just trying to brainstorm if we can, if a parent thinks that their child or someone they know is taking drugs, rather than start them in the legal process, have us actually come in, help do some type of intervention, and this has not been worked out yet, is law enforcement, we'll come in there, and then take them to Rogers, take them to the hospital, take them someplace, and start that process. So maybe the person in uniform can help assist the parent in getting that ball rolling. So that's what we've been brainstorming when we had our last heroin opiate meeting about 2-3 weeks ago. So that's in the brainstorming process now.
That's different than the DA's program, right?
Right.
This is kind of an
we'll be working with them.
Option.
Yeah, we'll be discussing with them. But because right now the DA's program is in place and working.
You've been arrested. Okay, do you want to take this pathway or do you want to go through the legal system? In this case, you're trying to even move upstream from that. Okay.
Yeah. In the Vivitrol program, we've been doing in jail too. So as people are leaving, we know that they're addicted to heroin. We will start them on the program. We will connect them to human services and they'll start that program too. So we're starting, but we're not catching up yet.
Yeah. And DA Gravely has also worked with us as a drug unit and offered us this Vivitrol program as a tool in our bag to help people who are street level arrested and they want to get off of it. Well, rather than them being charged, they can work with us and we can also suggest a Vivitrol program and help them out. We've recently had a case where we had a 45-year-old female thank us up and down that she got arrested because she just can't get off of stuff.
No, it's hooks into you and you can't get off.
Yeah, it does, but I guess my point initially was, I don't know if it's the right thing to have to get arrested to get help. It doesn't seem totally the right way to do that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's not pointing a finger at the sheriff's.
No.
That's pointing a finger at us in the county for maybe that. Maybe there should be some other way of doing it.
Well, that's why we're trying to figure this out, because a lot of people feel exactly like what you do. They want to get their son, their daughter, their brother, their sister, their friend in trouble. But can law enforcement, because it's past just one or two people or that drug dealer in the neighborhood. It is, in all of our neighborhoods, it's a fear of, I've got a 15-year-old daughter. It's a huge fear that I have that she'll be exposed to it or take it or do something. So, come up with a program that doesn't get them into the legal system, but does get them help. That is a goal.
If I might add, the biggest hurdle we have is that possession of heroin is a felony. So simply to have it, you can be arrested. That's the hurdle we'd have to work out with the DA's office. But this program the sheriff alludes to about them calling in is if a heroin dealer sells heroin to somebody, they take it and pass out, they can call 911, we can get there, and they can use the Good Samaritan laws to excuse that felony possession of heroin charge so we don't have people not reporting an overdose. And so that's a hurdle and a detail we have to work out through Mike Gravely's office to get the officers on board with more of a treatment-oriented rather than arrest-oriented procedures.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Skelitzky, seconded by Supervisor Lambert. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Chair votes aye. All right, next is the 2017 Wisconsin Department of Justice COPS Anti-Methamphetamine Task Force Grant.
Yes, again, this is a 2017 resolution request to accept $3,000 from the COPS Anti-Methamphetamine Grant. For year one, Wisconsin Department of Justice, which is intended to reimburse sheriff's detectives and KPD officers involved in the Kenosha County drug unit, their overtime working hours on investigations focused on the manufacturing, distribution, and trafficking of methamphetamine. As I stated in an earlier one, Walworth County Sheriff's Department is the fiscal grant agent on this one, and the grant was totaled $20,000. Which is allotted among five drug task force teams in Southeast Wisconsin. We are estimating that Kenosha County Sheriff's Department may utilize roughly around 3,000 of that shared funds and overtime expenses incurred related to, methamphetamine investigations.
Any questions, discussion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion Motion made by Supervisor Spolsky, seconded by Supervisor Lambo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Whatever. It was me instead of him.
Supervisor Kravick, sorry.
Yeah, I want to get credit.
Chair votes aye. Thank you. Next is a 2017 request for approval to purchase equipment and supplies using funding from the KDOG Task Force Federal Equitable Sharing.
Call for this one?
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep.
Thanks, Madam Chair, for welcoming me back. I missed that last moment. This is a resolution to allocate money from the Federal Forfeiture Fund back to the Sheriff's Department for purchase of equipment that is, in a lot of cases, long overdue based on the audit that we went through recently with the Forfeiture Fund. Most of this equipment is necessary for a lot of our special units, and it doesn't cost anything in the budget. It comes straight out of the forfeiture money. But there are some verbiage in here that I'm sure you may have a question or two on, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about. But it goes all the way from the dive team, which needs actual suits to get in the water with, to tactical equipment and riot equipment that we want to move forward on with a new riot unit, so to speak.
Okay, any questions?
When you do your budgets, do you plan this? How does this come into your plan? No? I mean, if you didn't get this, you would need these things, right? I guess I'm trying to say this didn't exist. Okay? Mm-hmm. Would these be in your budget or your budget request? This equipment?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does. It's eliminated almost every budget. This
okay. Year, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you. Okay.
This year in our budget, we had most all this gear in it, and we got two new sergeants that were scattered throughout the year, and a couple new correctional officers. And the correction, I was thrilled when the county executive called and said, "You got these people," and then I think he didn't tell me, but they called Nancy. Said, "Nancy, you have to cut out $300,000 out of your budget to accomplish this." We're like, well, you know. So we took a couple steps forward. We took steps right back. So this is stuff that gets eliminated from the budget. Some of the stuff can get moved into it. One of the things that we really figured we needed that's in here that we haven't needed in really decades was riot gear. And we figured that out when Milwaukee had what was going on. We were going to have it here too, but it never actually happened here in Kenosha. So we asked to go put our, I said, go get all of our riot gear, because they were asking for all the help that they could get. And we have some old batons and some old shields and a couple of helmets. So that's part of what we have in here. And in order to be prepared.
Just to highlight the budget, this money that's in there needs to be allocated for something. The federal government doesn't let us leave it in there for a rainy day. Based on what we have here and the total sums that are in there, the drug unit will still have funding if it was shut off today to be operational for at least 2 years. So the money is available in this fund to easily handle everything that's on this list, and doesn't put us in any particular situation where it would create any problems for us down the road.
And like the captain said, that there are grumblings coming out of Washington that a lot of these funds, if they're left in the account, will disappear. And they've been telling us that for a long time. So to purchase some of this equipment that we do need with these funds before Washington would actually just suck them back into their general fund, we think that's important to us.
Oh, so they would just take it if you don't use it?
Correct. Because it's designed for use in the law enforcement business. That's why that is set up that way. If you don't use it, you lose it.
And these came from Kenosha County, right? The $340,000?
That's correct.
1 year?
No, no, no. No, it's over. It's a combination of a couple of years enforcement, a couple of large forfeitures that were taken and came through, because that system is also a little slower. You have a criminal trial, and then you have a civil trial, and the civil trials involve all the forfeitures, so sometimes that stuff can get protracted over a year.
Okay. Go ahead.
Of the list here, do you guys see that more, not specifically, but is it more, you mentioned, you know, updating riot gear. I look at one of our biggest problems, getting back to this drug issue we got going on. I don't care if it's driving a lot of it is heroin, but there's all these fringe elements because no one's immune from it. Kids are not, you see how many adults are. Well, some of it applied to that activity also. Or...
In here?
Yeah.
Well, included in this equipment is what we call trauma kits. Each trauma kit's going to be in one of our squad cars. In that trauma kit's going to also be Narcan and some trauma, what we call trauma dressings, tourniquets, that kind of thing for officer safety. So it's going to include updated first aid equipment for our squad car. That's a part of this equipment.
Can you ever use any of these funds for CI?
I think we have to reallocate it. Nah. It has to be reallocated.
CI
reimbursement for your kids.
You know, you don't get information for nothing.
Yeah, usually. We do. Yes, absolutely. We can reimburse our operation funds with this federal forfeiture.
Right.
Because I hear you guys, and that is, you know, there's a change in the attitude of money's just laying around. We've got enough national debt here, we're going to apply it to something. But is there an opportunity for us to maybe make sure that your CI account is...
Oh,
because that's the only way we're going to get
that's part of that's part of the operational funds that I calculate for how they operate for the next couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah. On average, I took what they've been spending in not only purchasing drugs, but paying for informants and their daily bills, and did a little bit of rudimentary math, and that's where I come up with at least 2 years of operational funding that will still sustain their activities, even with this money being spent out of that. So we should be pretty comfortable.
Does anybody on this committee have any concerns with this list of items?
They know what they need. So that's always my attitude when I look at lists like this.
Got any problems? I don't hear. Motion to approve.
Second? Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Made by Supervisor Skolitsky, seconded by Supervisor Lombard. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye. Okay, next is the 2017 request to accept tactical vehicle acquired federal 1033 surplus.
I'll pass around. One of the other supervisors has sent out. Supervisor Skolitsky sent an email asking for some information, and I thought it was a really good question, so I forwarded it to everybody. Hopefully you all got it, and I didn't bring it with me, but it made us also put together a little bit more of a shopping list of hopefully adequate answers for it. The vehicle that we're looking for is from the 1033 program. It's a federal surplus program. It is a... they're called MRAPs. It's a Bearcat. It's a military Bearcat. And the vehicles are were manufactured between 2007 and 2012. What we did is at the beginning of February, end of January, beginning of February, we went and we were told that they were out there and they were trying to get them in the more urban areas of Wisconsin. And there's also a map here. Ken just brought it here. This shows where they all are. There are 32, I think it's MRAPs in Wisconsin now. There's 24 Bearcats. These vehicles that are in Northern California, they're stationed out there. They're sitting in a parking lot. They're waiting to go to law enforcement throughout the country. The purchase price the government paid was $680,000 roughly for the one that we were allotted a few weeks ago. We were told it was going to take 3 to 4 months to do this. I thought I had plenty of time to come and go through the process here. 2 weeks later, they said, you've been assigned a vehicle, and they gave us 2 weeks to go pick it up. I said, we can't pull that off. So I don't know if it gets approved, if we'd be getting the same one, but the one we were getting had 5,400 miles on it. The last six or so that came to Wisconsin had less than 1,000 miles on them. They're all basically brand new, except they've been sitting in Northern California for the last couple of years. They were never deployed, they never went to any place, they were waiting for deployment, and they're just sitting there. If you were to do a satellite, these guys showed me a satellite of the place where they are, and there's just rows of them waiting to get shipped off to law enforcement. The reason that they're not doing is they've updated to a newer model. These are basically personnel carriers, and they would be used to, like the Bearcat is, they'd be used to transport our tactical team to a location, and the Bearcat was also the vehicle that was used in Milwaukee. I don't know if you remember. We're getting an award for it. There was a 17-year-old kid that went into the riot area in Milwaukee and got shot. And our tactical team with the Bearcat is the one that drove up to him, got him out of the melee that was going on, put him in the Bearcat, and drove him to the hospital for first aid. So it'll be used for the tactical team. It'll be used in the rescue is basically like what I said. It's to rescue a down officer, rescue someone's down in a dangerous situation. One of the questions that was asked was, how many calls for service did our Bearcat go out in the last 3 years? 166, if they documented all of them properly. And let me see. Think of some of the other ones.
No, it's all right.
Go ahead.
But that was the one that really struck me. I just wouldn't have thought. You know, I guess I look at our community as a, you know, quiet little Mayberry. It's not. And it's also for support and surrounding area also. I do appreciate the time and effort you guys put together to pull this, you know, the answers. They were well thought out and comprehensive. I know there was a couple on here, for instance, we weren't sure about the maintenance or insurance costs, but you gave me some ballpark.
No, I did find that numbers. Out. Okay. And the insurance on our Bearcat is about $615 a year. This would be the exact same thing.
Okay. And at first, I just wasn't sure because I looked at what do we really need that? Especially if we buy things and it sits around and collects things. And I know you've argued in the past as well, if you don't have it, you can't be prepared for what you don't know is going to happen in the future. But when you've got 133 calls to varying degrees, that's a lot of usage. So a second one would be certainly worthwhile, and the price that you're getting it for is excellent. So, I mean, I support this.
Someone else wants to go.
Any comments?
I'm struggling with this, to be honest with you, Sheriff, and I'm probably going to vote no. And I don't want to get real deep in the woods because I understand why you want it. Okay, I do, and you could sit in 2 seconds convince me of this. You could very easily. Let me tell you that. Okay, but I'm just. It really comes down to, for me, necessity, and I know you could argue that for me, and image. I'm just. That's where I'm at with this. I know we have, and we already have one. So I don't really want to get real deep on that. That's just kind of where I sit. Maybe sometime we could talk deeper about it, but that's I'm just a little against it, that's all.
No, I understand.
And I hope you don't, I don't want you to go with the opinion that I'm not, I don't believe that you don't do the good things. You know what I'm saying? I had a couple moments here, so that's all. I just want to make that clear.
No,
that
I'm good.
I'm good. Okay. I don't want to go long on that either, so.
Okay.
Any other comments and questions?
Can I ask a question? So would we be getting an MRAP, you said? And we have a Bearcat, so we'd have like one of each type of thing?
Correct. Okay. Racine has, there are different size MRAPs. And there is, Racine Sheriff has two MRAPs. Actually, one's a South African, but it looks exactly the same. And it's a six-wheeled vehicle, and it's very large. This is basically, this is still bigger than a Bearcat, but this is just a four-wheel, basically Bearcat, heavy-duty Bearcat. So you would have one of each, yes.
What's the difference between the two? Is there much?
This is actually the frame and everything was made by International. Our Bearcat is made by Ford. So it's just two different companies.
They do basically the same thing.
Yeah, and the Bearcat, or I'm sorry, the MRAP was designed to go overseas, and if you went over mines, it was supposed to protect you from the bottom. Oh. So hopefully we don't go over mines. So in our world, it's a Bearcat on steroids. And
he hasn't seen it. Sheriff hasn't seen this.
You know, probably less than $10,000 by the time you get done shipping it back here, changing all the fluids, and maybe doing something else. You got a new Bearcat, as far as I'm concerned.
and I know that I had asked, I'm sorry, you,
no.
You
don't. No, I'm done, yeah, thank you.
And you answered here, training, you know, any types of specializers. I mean, it looks like if you're not driving a truck, you're not driving. You can drive a mobile command center, you can drive this.
This is smaller than mobile command center.
Yeah. Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Skolinski, seconded by Supervisor Wambo. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
I'm opposed.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There we go. Thank you.
Any other business allowed by law? There's none. Have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Supervisor Redslob, seconded by Supervisor Frederick. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You won't let me?
Let's off of one.
High school starts on the 13th.
Hello? Can I show
you? Can I try it out? No, in 2 weeks. It must be the 13th, too.
Don't be mean. What is this? What is this here?